Thank you for joining me again today on Bible Foundations. It's a joy to have you with us as we continue our study of God's Word and seeing that the deliverer that was promised right in the very beginning of God's Word is now being studied right before our very eyes. We see the living Son of God, who is all-powerful, demonstrating the fact that He alone can forgive sin because He is God. And He has come to demonstrate Himself to us today, just as He did in living person and real living example and explanation of God showing Himself to mankind. It's critical for us to understand who Jesus is and to stand in awe of Him as He demonstrates His power to heal the sick and to expose the hearts of men to show them their real need for a Savior. Our last time together, we studied what Jesus said about Himself in John chapter 10, describing to us that Jesus is the only door to eternal life. Now remember, God the Father is eternal, and He has desired through the ages that we communicate with Him, that we understand what He has to say to us. Why? Because He wants us to have fellowship with Him just as Adam and Eve had it in the garden before they sinned. We're all separated from God. We cannot come to God our own way. He cannot accept us in our natural sinful state. He wants us to recognize that we are helpless to save ourselves. And that's why He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep, and I am the door to the sheepfold. The picture was given where Jesus, as the good shepherd, would lay down His life for the sheep. When the shepherd would guard the doorway, which there was only one door to the sheepfold, then He would lay in that doorway to protect the sheep and keep them from being molested or killed or taken away by the enemies, by thieves, by robbers, or by wolves or other animals that would take their life. Jesus saying that He is the door reminds us of the day when God said to Noah, go into the ark. And Noah went in, and God shut the door. There was only one way into the ark, and God told him to go in through that one way. There were not two ways. There were not many ways, friends. There was one way. Jesus is explaining that the only way to eternal life is to come into the sheepfold by Him. And He is the good shepherd, willing to lay down His life for the sheep. What is the requirement to be one of Jesus' sheep? My friend, to believe on Him. Agree with God about your sin. Agree with Him that you are helplessly sinful in His sight and that you cannot help yourself. Now, many people are still trying to make themselves better before they come to God, and you can't come to God on your own. That's what we mean by that. We are hopelessly separated from God. The only way we can come is God's way, and He's telling us that the way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ, acknowledging that we are helpless sinners and trusting only in Jesus to be our deliverer, the one that would deliver us from the power of Satan and sin and eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Now today we want to see Jesus in yet a new demonstration from what we've studied before, in the power of God displayed through this one who is fully human and yet indeed fully God. Now in our society today, there are lots of things that we like to talk about. We like to talk about the weather. We like to talk about our health. We talk about our age. But there's a subject that's common to all of us that most of us like to avoid. At least avoid discussion about. We spend enormous amounts of money trying to get well if we're sick and trying to stay well so that we can maintain the lifestyle that we're enjoying and trying to look young and stay young and trying to avoid getting old. Very few people want to talk about death. But Jesus talked about death, and so we need to talk about death as Jesus talked about it today. Now, what He had to say about death should change forever our thoughts about life and death. Jesus had a lot to say about death in John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. We'll turn there in our Bibles together, and we'll look at the point that Jesus is trying to make here because it's critical to all of mankind's understanding. Now, many of the settings and miracles that Jesus performed were done in the area of the Sea of Galilee. Now, in this particular occasion, the setting is down near Jerusalem, just a little bit to the east of Jerusalem in a town called Bethany. This is a place where Jesus spent a lot of his time with people that he loved, and he would come to and from this location on many occasions. Now, if you'll remember your map of Israel, Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee are to the northern part, the north-central part of Israel, and the Jordan River runs to the south to the Dead Sea. Now, right near the top of the Dead Sea, over to the west a little ways, is where Bethany was. Now, Jesus was doing his business as God the Son, demonstrating himself to the world, to those disciples, as he was teaching them, and to the Israelites, and to the Samaritans as he would come across them, and also to you and I today. And we see in chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, that he is east of Jordan. Read together with me, if you will, please, this marvelous account that Jesus is demonstrating himself in. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, as we've mentioned, Jesus was on the other side of Jordan. It was a bit of a distance across there. And even though that Jesus was a long ways from where Lazarus was, Jesus still knew all about what was going to happen to Lazarus, because Jesus is God. Now, there isn't anything that he doesn't know, you see, and Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. Now, Jesus had all power that's possible available to him, you see. He could have healed Lazarus without going to where he was, or Jesus could have gone immediately to Lazarus and healed him right then. Instead, Jesus waits for 2 days. You know why? Because he knew that the situation was going to give another opportunity for him to show his mighty power as the Son of God. Oh, my friend, God delights in communicating with people because he's loving and he's merciful and gracious. And here we're going to see a loving and merciful and gracious demonstration of God the Son in the lives of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, because Jesus delayed his time here, it may seem to the average and ordinary person that Jesus didn't love Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but that's not true. He loved them and he was concerned for them. But he had good reason for allowing Lazarus to die. He waited 2 more days just because he had a point at this point of his ministry where he could take the people and take you and I just a little bit farther and show us his magnificence as a loving and gracious God, God the Son, with whom all things are possible. Now Jesus truly loves every person, and he wants every one of us to trust him as our Savior. And though Lazarus was dead, Jesus was going to show his power to give life to those who would simply believe. Look at John 11, verses 7 through 16 with me now, if you will, please. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, that is, after the 2 days of extra waiting, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Boy, they were bringing up the realities. Those religious leaders who were out to kill Jesus, they were looking for an occasion, and the disciples were more than a little concerned. But Jesus, in confidence in verse 9, answers, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. You see, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant when he said Lazarus was sleeping. They thought that Jesus was going to allow the Jewish leaders to kill him so that he could be with Lazarus. And they just weren't sure they were ready for that at all. You see, that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus had another plan in mind, and he was about to show them that death could not hold in his power. He was the power of resurrection in himself, and we'll see that as we go along. And Jesus is teaching his disciples to simply believe him, because man must have faith in order to please God and be saved. Now let's follow along as Jesus continues to teach in John 11, verse 17 through 22. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Lazarus was dead for 4 days already. Verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, that is about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. You see, Martha believed that Jesus had the power to heal her brother, and that God his Father would do whatever Jesus asked him to do. Here is a living demonstration of faith in God. She believed God. She'd seen the miracles, and she knew that Jesus could ask of his Father whatever he will, and God would grant him the ability to perform it. Now listen carefully to verses 23 and 24 as Jesus responds to her. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now Jesus meant for Martha to understand that he intended to bring her brother back to life right away. But she thought Jesus was referring to the time at the end of the world when all people will be brought back to life. And that surely will happen. But God had taught the Jews, you see, through the prophets, that all people will be made alive in the body once again, no matter how long you've been dead. Now you'll remember that it is God that gives life to every person, even before each one is born. And he will give life once again to all the dead when the proper time comes for everyone to stand before God and be judged. And let me assure you, my friend, we've seen throughout the records of history that what God promises in the Old Testament surely comes to pass. Now the Word of God also records that there is a different judgment for unbelievers, as recorded in Revelation 20, verse 15, but that's different for believers, that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. Now we don't want to get off onto that at this time, but I want you to be aware, my friend, that the Word of God tells us that the dead will be raised in a living accountability before God. And the question now is, have you believed in time? Have you believed that Jesus is God, and that God is supreme and sovereign and all-powerful? Now let's see what Jesus says in verse 25 as he talks to Martha once again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, do you get the impact of what Jesus is saying to her? I am, I am, I am. Where have we heard that before? The I am was demonstrated to Moses out there in the desert on Mount Sinai as the bush refused to be burned up because God was in the bush. And God wanted to speak to Moses. And he told Moses, go tell the people that I am has sent you. Now, who is this Jesus saying unto her? I am the resurrection and the life. It is God the Son. I am the resurrection and the life. He's demonstrating to Martha that he wants her to understand that Lazarus did not have to remain dead until the day of God's judgment of all people. God is the giver of life. God the Son is the giver of life, and therefore he has the power to restore life to the dead. He and he alone is the only one who can give life to the dead. No other person can give life to the dead. Satan cannot give life to those who are dead. Only God can give life to those who are dead. For he is almighty. He's the almighty creator who gave life to everyone and everything in the beginning. He gave life to you and I when we were born, and now he's offering us a second birth. He's offering us the demonstration of his resurrection power, the ability that only God the Son has to raise us in newness of life who are born dead to God. Now, there are people around us today that believe in reincarnation. They think someone who dies comes back to live on the earth again as another person, or even perhaps as an animal or a different creature. Now, folks, make no mistake about it. This is not in the Bible. This is a lie of Satan. It's another of his diversions to keep people from understanding, hearing and understanding and believing the truth, as God himself has given it to us in the Bible. You see, Satan wants people to think that they don't need to be delivered from their sins. He wants them to believe that there is no hell and that there is no judgment. These are lies of Satan. If Satan can get people to believe that there's just another life for them right here on earth, then they'll think that they don't need Jesus Christ and they don't need to be saved from God's righteous punishment for their sins. Folks, Satan has always been a liar and a deceiver, and the lie of reincarnation is another of his attempts to keep men away from God and from eternal life. No matter how cleverly this lie of reincarnation is presented to you, don't believe it. The Bible clearly says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die. And what happens after that? But after that, the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Those are the words of God to you and I today through the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27. There is no other life after death in another form. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Those are the words of God. Now let's look again at verse 25 and then at verse 26 in John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus declares who he is, that he has the power over death and hell itself, my friend. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the eternal life. Not only do I have ability over resurrection or over the dead, I have the ability to raise in newness of life, and I have ability to give that life. That life is in me. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What is he saying here? Listen, friend, you're born spiritually dead to God. But when you have the hearing of God's word come across your mind and your ears, we have the opportunity to believe, to respond to God, because we agree with him about our sin in response. And he then says, if you believe on me, though you were dead, yet shall he live. Though you were dead, yet shall he live. God is able to bring life out of the dead. And he's told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Same context, my friend. Same meaning. Jesus has the power over death, and he has the way to eternal life. I am the way. I am the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he goes on to say, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Then you can just see him looking Martha right in the eye and saying, believest thou this? And the Lord is looking right into your heart today, my friend, just as he looks into mine. And he says, do you believe me? Believest thou this? Do you really believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And even though you're dead in your sin, I can make you alive unto God. That's what he's looking into our hearts to see. Oh, my friend, when God looks into our hearts through his word, it pierces through our armor. And we have to say in response, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, Martha was a believer. And Jesus knew right into her heart that she was a believer. But he had some things to demonstrate to her. He had some things for her to learn, you see, that he was the God of gods, that he indeed was the all-powerful and the almighty and could do what he needed to do. and he could handle this situation. Martha was a believer. She was not like most of those that were following Jesus in that day. They were following Jesus because they wanted healing or they wanted the food. They wanted the freebies again, my friend, for their bodies. They wanted food for their bodies, and they wanted political freedom. They were not interested in knowing him as their Savior. They did not have an interest in knowing that they needed to be freed from their sin and from the penalty of everlasting punishment. They were only interested in the temporal, but Jesus was attempting to teach them that he is God and able to forgive sin, and that's the real need that he came to meet. Now Martha truly believed and trusted in Jesus. She believed that Jesus was indeed the promised deliverer who had come from God. That's what Jesus meant when he looked into her heart and said, "Believest thou this?" She was a believer. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, the promised deliverer, God himself, who had come to free us from the power of Satan and sin and death. When Jesus asked her, "Believest thou this?" verse 27 records, "She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world." Oh, what a testimony. Is that your response today, my friend? Well, let's look what Jesus did next as we go on down to verses 28 through 38 in John chapter 11. Read along with me, if you will, please. "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him." Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. "The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth forth into the grave to weep there." Verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which had come with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now Jesus knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back to life again, but he wept because he felt the grief of the people who were grieving over Lazarus. Jesus, God the Son, yet man, was grieving in his heart, you see. Now, do you remember that we studied this fact about God and how that God made man in his own image? He gave man emotions because God has emotions. He feels sadness. You see, God is just not a remote being somewhere. God is a God with a mind to think and emotions to sense and feel good and bad about things. And he also is a God who has a will. He's able to make up his mind. And Jesus had made up his mind what he was going to do here. But he expressed the emotions of a human being. You see, Jesus Christ is God, and he feels sorrow and grief. He's able to identify with you and I when we grieve, just as he was able to identify with Martha and Mary at this time. Now, Jesus cried, not because he had no hope of seeing Lazarus alive again, but because he identified with the grief of the people. He grieved for all men because of the horrible results of sin. This was the very reason he had come back into the world, to deliver men and women and children from death and to give them eternal life. Some people think emotions have a bad connotation. But God gave us emotions. He himself feels grief and compassion and love and anger because of injustice especially, and joy over what is true and right. God is deeply grieved over all people because there is sin in the world. Because there is sin, there is sickness and there is death. Sin and death came into the world because of Adam's disobedience to God. All people are now sinners, and we die because we are all descendants of Adam and are born into sin because of that. Now just think about it for a minute and ask yourself the question, does God care when you are sick or when someone dies? Yes, indeed He does, my friend. He is a personal, loving God, and He loves you. God loves you, and He wants you to believe His words and trust in Jesus as your Savior. He wants you to be with Him forever and ever. Now, because God doesn't want any of us to go into the place of everlasting separation and punishment, He sent Jesus into the world to deliver each one of us, you and I, and everyone who will believe, from their sin and from Satan and from death. That's the love of God, my friend. He loved us enough to plan it and cause it to come to pass. Now look at John 11, verses 39 through 44 with me, if you will, please. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Verse 41 says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Oh, what a thrilling account of the power of God the Son demonstrating that He is one with the Father. He expresses His joy and His devotion and His communion and His fellowship with God the Father. And He thanks God the Father. And then, as God the Son, He cries out for Lazarus to come forth. And guess what happens? He comes right out of that grave, my friend. But he's bound in all of the grave clothes. Now, there are many things that could be said and are for us to learn in the future as we continue our Bible foundation study together. But right now, we want to concentrate on the foundational truth and understand that Jesus had the power to raise this man from the grave. And now he says to those who were about, "Loose him from his grave clothes and let him go." Oh, my friend, Jesus is God. There's never been any other man like him. He is Almighty. In the beginning, He, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, created all things. They created all things just by speaking. Now Jesus stood at the entrance of this tomb, and He spoke, and He commanded Lazarus to come back to life. Whatever Jesus says always happens. Remember that God is all-powerful. God is supreme. And Jesus Christ is God. God is sovereign, and He is able to do whatever He wants to do simply by speaking, and it has to come to pass. And He always keeps His word. He just keeps doing what demonstrates to you and I that He is God. This is the proof of God and our Lord Jesus being God. Oh, my friend, Martha believed. And Mary saw the demonstration of the power of the resurrection right here, as Lazarus is raised from the dead. And many others who had come out with her now believed that Jesus was God. Do you believe that He is God? Is He your Savior? Thank you for joining me on Bible Foundations. Until next time, this is Jerry Smythe, desiring God's very best for you and for all of your family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. They weren't looking for God the Deliverer. They weren't looking for the promises of the Savior. They were only interested in their political positions. While many of those who saw this demonstration of the Lord Jesus, they saw His power and they saw Lazarus raised from the dead, they believed. But these religious leaders were unbelieving in their heart. They were more concerned that Jesus would make them for their king and they would be out of a job than they were about their eternal salvation. They should have been concerned about the eternal salvation of those around them, of their own people whom they were supposed to be the leaders of. But these Jewish leaders knew that the Romans who controlled the Jews and their land would never agree to Jesus being king.